Let it go, let it go. Kyle's frozen on my computer. Where'd he go? Where'd he go? Come back so we can finish the podcast. I don't know how to finish this alone, so I need Kyle back. Sup with the Sup Playful Banter Podcast listeners. It's a beautiful sunny summer wherever you are, unless it's not, in which case, just try to feel the positive vibes that's coming to you through the airwaves from the Playful Banter Podcast with Kyle. I'm Robbie. Kyle, tell the people how you're living.
I am living like a tight foil ball.
You mean like aluminum foil that you, like, when you're done with it, you ball it up and throw it in the garbage?
Yep.
You know, I will say those things kind of fascinate me. Like, you can get those so compact. This is going to be a weird thing to say as you are now that thing. But, you know, you can squeeze it and it becomes, you know, something that was nice and loose and functional suddenly becomes very tight. Very constricted, firm, not really good for anything other than causing pain. But you do have the ability to, like, re-stretch it out, and it's kind of malleable. Like, you can stretch it back out, but it's never as good as it once was. Like, if you ever try to make it functional again, you've lost some of the functionality of it. It still works as foil. But you can't undo all the creases and all the ridges. So you're damaged is what you're saying. And right now, you know, maybe you have the potential to relax. But right now you're real tight. You're real tight in there. Right?
Yeah, nailed it.
Yeah, I always do. I always do. Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Still the summer months, which, as we've discussed many a time, is my favorite time of year. Probably this year, more so than any other year, this has not been my favorite summer. But
yeah,
still good. I mean, you know, still kind of loosey-goosey. Been able to get out and play some golf. I think you and I have played golf at least the last 3 weeks, I think. At least once the last 3 weeks, which is nice. I've enjoyed getting out and playing a little bit of golf, even though I'm not very good. It's still nice. Yeah, it's just difficult without the travel. Like, travel's what you look forward to all year, and it's just kind of like, what do we do now, you know? Mm-hmm. So I've actually been taking on more work responsibilities over the summer, paid, but, you know, in lieu of, like, well, if I'm just going to be sitting at home anyway. Might as well get paid to do something. We're hoping to get a couple more, you know, adventures in maybe over the last month here, maybe a few short road trips or day trips to the coast or something like that. But other than that, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'll get good at golf. Probably not.
Golf is one of those games where, I mean, most things are, the more you do it, the better you get. But I feel like golf is really one of those games. Like, it doesn't take a whole lot of natural skill to be decent at golf.
Well, and what's frustrating to me is that you do see, you know, it's one of those old age sports that people play, right? When you're too old to play basketball or play football or any of the other active, you know, more physical sports. I mean, you see like 80-year-old men and women out on the course hitting the crap out of the golf ball. And then there I am, you know, in the supposed prime of my life, you know, slicing it 200 yards off the right side or not hitting the ball barely at all or something. You know, it's a humbling experience until you get good at it. Unfortunately, it's one of those things. It's kind of like skiing in my mind, where it's an expensive, they're expensive activities to get good at. Like, it's not like running or something. I mean, you buy yourself a pair of shoes and you go and you gradually get better. It takes infrastructure. You got to get the right equipment. And then it costs a good amount of money. Luckily, we've played at some cheaper places, but it costs a decent amount of money to go out and play golf or even, you know, hit at the range or something. Kyle, how would you describe my golf game to the people that have never seen me play golf?
Interesting. Circuitous.
I don't know what that means.
Circuitous, like in a circular way to get to the hole.
Oh, yeah.
You don't go directly.
No, you that's go, not fun.
You make it more adventurous than the hole was designed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And as somebody who has played a fair amount of golf, I have gotten in the habit of standing behind people when they're hitting because nobody's going to hit the ball backwards, so it's a safe place to stand. But when Robbie's hitting, he aims directly sideways right to where I'm normally standing. So it's taken some adjustment for me to make sure that I'm not standing right. And you're never going to hit it where you aim, but it's just unnerving for me to be right in your aim line.
Yeah, if I ever do hit it where I aim, you do not want to be on anywhere around me when I accidentally figure that out.
you don't aim in a place where you want it would be good to hit the ball.
No, I don't, because I know myself and I know that I'm not there yet. I'm hoping I slowly figure it out. If I quickly figured it out, that would be great, except for that one shot I'd probably hurt somebody. People get freaked out playing, you know, imagine me on the tee box, you know, and the hole is straight in front of me. I am at least 45 degrees aimed to the left because I have a mad slice. So I know that if I hit it starting out 45 degrees to the left, it's going to curve all the way and probably still land on the right side of the hole that I'm currently playing on. But, you know, if there's people over there to the left, not who don't know me, it just looks like I'm aiming right at them, like I'm going to be a jerk and try to take their heads off. So I think I have unnerved a few people on the golf course. But I typically do know if I make good contact, I know exactly what the ball is going to do. So sometimes I can figure out how to actually put it in a good spot. But I waste a lot of contact with the ball traveling sideways and not straight.
Yeah, your ball definitely goes as far left to right as it goes forward.
Right, which to me is just untapped potential. I think I could be on the PGA Tour one day, and this is going to be a great first few chapters of my book.
I hope that comes true. Can I be your caddy when you're on the PGA Tour?
Absolutely. And I'm actually going to write 4 books just for the purpose of being able to logically have the title of the fourth one be 4.
4.
Yeah.
Or you just have the fourth chapter be 4.
No, I'm going to create a literary dynasty. You know who else is creating a dynasty, Kyle? Is our woman of the week. Tell us about her.
Yeah, our woman of the week's name is Meena Kumar, and she is a 14-year-old residing in San Jose, California. But when she was 9 months old, she was found abandoned in a basket in a university in India, was then adopted and eventually made her way to California, where at 12 years old, her whole life she had apparently a big affinity to dogs. And at 12 years old, she wanted to volunteer at this local animal shelter that helped with adopting senior dogs. But she was 12 years old and the limits for volunteers were 17. And so instead of volunteering, she started her own business, her own pet sitting business, and has raised $7,000 through that pet sitting business, which then got moved to $14,000 with a match from Intel. To donate to that shelter to help a bunch of senior dogs get adopted, which is a thriving business in the time of COVID with everybody adopting dogs. So I thought that was pretty cool. And she's our woman of the week.
We love dogs on this podcast. We love smart, empowered women on this podcast. And so Kyle, you get credit for finding this story about Meena. I love it. I also don't know why there is an age limit on volunteers. That was the only part of the story.
I wonder if there's a legal thing. I don't know.
I mean, maybe.
Child labor or something, but it's volunteer.
Right. If that's exactly what I was thinking. Like, it's a volunteer, and, you know, if you had consent from, you know, whoever her guardians are, you know, and she's down with it, I don't see why you can't have, like, a 14-year-old hanging out at your dog shelter. That seems dumb. I get it with, like, paying. Like, you can't pay someone until they're 16 or whatever, but legally you could pay someone to work at 16, but you can't have a 17-year-old volunteer. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it was weird. I do like that she didn't just give up at that point, though. She found a way around it and still made her mission work.
Resilience, baby. Perseverance. I love it. Good choice, Kyle. All right. So we will take the spirit of Mina with us through the rest of the show. Be charitable, be giving, be persistent and resilient. Many of those things did apply to how I had to approach the challenge of the week.
I thought I was being charitable with the challenge of the week last week.
You know, just because it's something that you do on a regular basis that you're challenging other people to do does not mean that it's a kind thing. What you do on a regular basis, and for those of you that didn't catch the last episode, and I don't know why you wouldn't have, Kyle challenged me to do something he regularly does, which is the last minute of his shower, turn the temperature as cold as it possibly will go for 60 seconds before getting out of the shower. And I think it's a stupid thing to do. Logically, when Kyle explains it, does it make some sense? Yes. Yes, it does. Like I said on the last podcast, I sometimes will do the opposite and actually turn the heat up to a slightly uncomfortable level just because it makes you feel alive. I did not have the same experience turning the water cold.
So none of the benefits that I had outlined or that you thought were possible came to fruition?
Well, so I will say it actually set up perfectly because it was really hot that week that I was doing it. So yeah. I would come back from like a, you know, late evening run and it was like 90 something degrees outside and I'd get in the shower and a cold shower sounded pretty good. But there's cold and then there's the coldest temperature that the water will go to, which I swear is the temperature that I wish my drinking water would come out of the faucet at. Like, I have trouble getting the water to be cold enough coming out of the faucet, but then in that shower, it seems like it's unbearably freezing. I will say I did not have a problem necessarily with it hitting my head. So I would like turn the, and so, you know, you're in there and it's a normal temperature and then you turn the water all the way down and there's those few seconds while the water is switching temperature. I would use my head to like position to get the water because I don't think I'm as sensitive, you know, with like, you know, the nerves in my head or whatever. And also I've, you know, put my head in freezing cold water before many times with you and that actually wasn't so bad. I would then rotate and have it hit my back, which was much less comfortable. Didn't enjoy that at all. But it was still like, okay, this sucks, but I can do it, right? When I turned and had it hit my chest, and, you know, the water goes down from there, that was where I was like, nope. Like, every time I did it, I did try it to see if maybe it would be more comfortable the second time or the fourth time or whatever. In all of the showers that I took, I definitely didn't make it more than like five, maybe 10 seconds at most of it hitting the front of my body before I would immediately put my head back down or turn my back to the water. That was like the most uncomfortable, like painful, like not actual pain, but just shocking type of thing. I did not enjoy that.
That's where I think you need to push through, and that's where you get the most benefit.
No.
When your body's just screaming at you, this is the worst thing you've ever done to me, and you get through it, and then you feel great.
See, but I just don't think of the shower as a place to do that. Like, when you're pushing yourself physically, like when you're working out or something, like, I get that. That's where progress can be made. I have nothing really to gain here other than being miserable in a place that's usually comfortable for me.
But then the difference, though, is you're not miserable at the end. You feel better at the end.
I'm not usually uncomfortable when I get out of the shower. Like, my house is typically, especially in the summer, like, I'm not feeling bad. You've just you've inserted an unpleasant thing. No, I'm just mad at that point. It's like I had a nice few minutes of shower, and then I ruined the last minute of my shower because of you. And I did. I was mad at you. Like it was nice to have an enemy. Like it wasn't. You know, sometimes when your hot water goes out or something, you know, you're just like cursing your inanimate object water heater. It was kind of nice to have a face to the anger. You know, I was definitely mad at you.
I'm happy to be that.
Yeah. And if you looked at our Instagram, and I tried to make a TikTok, our first ever TikTok.
You did.
Which apparently worked better on TikTok than Instagram. There might have been a tech issue between the two. And I don't think it's a coincidence that POTUS decided the day after I posted that TikTok that he was going to declare war on TikTok. I think he's paying attention.
I think Playful Banter shut down TikTok.
I think we were one too many users. And he didn't like me in the shower for some reason, which I don't know why anybody would have that reaction.
Or thought the other way, we enticed Microsoft to want to buy the whole platform. They're like, oh, if Playful Banter's on there, then we must spend billions of dollars for this.
I think Microsoft is going to buy TikTok, and then Microsoft's going to buy us. And then we will make TikToks while rich.
I'd be down for Microsoft buying us. I would have to switch out all my my computers, my whole setup here. But Microsoft, if you're listening and you want to buy us, we are for sale.
And that goes for Apple and Google too. Any of you, or Pips Donuts. Those are the Amazon. Four parties that we are interested in buying us. Not Amazon. We can have Amazon too. They got some cash. So we got Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, Google, Pips Donuts. Those are basically all the
tech companies that are testifying in front of Congress right now in Pips Donuts.
Yeah. We don't want Facebook. Facebook, don't buy us. Like, you know, we'll continue to use the Instagram platform and stuff, but we don't need you to buy us, but especially Pips. Pips, if you want to start throwing money and donuts our way, you know, we can turn down those other offers potentially too.
Yeah, I mean, we like money, but also any sort of interesting trades that these companies have for us, we're open-minded. So donuts are a good currency.
Yep, we will be in your TV commercials. We're definitely not beyond that, you know, other forms of getting famous. Kyle, I think we need to get back to our roots and start having fake sponsors on this show until we start getting real sponsors on the show. Back in the early days, for those who've been listening for a long time, we would just pick random restaurants and stuff that we liked that we just thought people should go to.
That's true. We can do that. I think I'll also probably record the ad for Anchor and put that in this episode. So
yes,
maybe you'll hear that later on this episode.
Use an accent. It'll be great. Now, as is tradition with the challenge of the week, we get a chance for retaliation. And I try to stay in the spirit of your challenge a little bit, Kyle, because you picked something that you do almost every day that is normal to you, but that you knew that I would not like so much.
Yes.
So I was like, what is that equivalent for Kyle? And it does go, what made me think of it too, is how infuriated I get every single time that we play Never Have I Ever with our friend group. Because Kyle's go-to Never Have I Ever that screws over everyone else in the circle is he says, what do you say, Kyle? What's your go-to?
I've never bought coffee from Starbucks for myself.
And this week, that needs to change. So you're not a coffee drinker. I get that. But I would like you to experiment a little bit this week. Before the next podcast, I want you to purchase for yourself at least 3 different kinds of coffee. So like you could try black coffee. You could try like a chai latte. You could try like a vanilla latte. You could go like for a Frappuccino type of thing, but it's got to be a type of coffee and you have to ingest it just to give it a chance.
Three different types.
So yeah, don't order like, you know, black coffee for 3 days. I want you to try a variety. I want to hear of three different types of coffee that you have had.
Okay.
And one, I just want to hear how it goes. And two, I really would love to be able to remove that go-to for you from Never Have I Ever.
Yeah. The thing for me, which I think is true for a lot of people that are not used to coffee and aren't coffee drinkers, is anything that has any sort of coffee in it just immediately tastes like coffee. Like, I don't think I'll be able to tell the difference between the three types of coffee, just because anything that's coffee is coffee. But we'll find out.
That does seem to be the case. It definitely, like, coffee was definitely an acquired taste for me. I think I just, like, forced myself, because I care so much about my social life. And we started getting to the age where socially people wanted to hang out at coffee shops that I just forced myself to start drinking and enjoying coffee. And now I very much do. I will say, Kyle, one of the things that you can try is what the Muse drinks, because she hates coffee too. She hates coffee flavored everything. But what she will drink is a chai latte, because that does not taste like coffee, but I will allow it for the taste test. Okay. Type of thing. So you should try that, because it really doesn't taste like coffee, even though it is.
I'm also curious if I notice any sort of caffeine effects, because I never drink caffeine. I don't have a problem with it, I just don't drink it.
Yeah.
So I wonder if I'll notice anything.
You might get a little rush of jitters. It's entirely possible if your body's not used to it. That'll be fun. You should videotape all those things too. We should podcast and see how much faster you talk.
Yeah.
Start getting a little jittery. Yeah. All right. So that will be something that everybody can look forward to on our social media platforms. Kyle might include it in his weekly wrap-up blog, which you can find on playfulbanter.org. Kyle's been doing a good job of keeping that updated, so make sure you're checking that out. And then on the next podcast, we can hear all of the different types of coffee that Kyle has had. And
yep.
I assume you'll still hate it, but at least we'll know and remove that competitive advantage from your arsenal when playing Never Have I Ever. All right. Before we go to the break, we want to run down some odd headlines. We haven't done this in a while. We're getting odd. It's the oddball segment on the Playful Banter podcast.
We're getting odd. It's the oddball segment.
Yeah. You know, doesn't that intro just sing? All right. So here's a few headlines that we have pulled from the AP Oddities Twitter account on Twitter at AP_oddities. The first one, Kyle. New Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Jill Karofsky was sworn in during the middle of a 100-mile ultra marathon. Karofsky began running Saturday at 6 a.m., and then the run took her about 34 hours to complete. Kyle, have you ever thought about competing in an ultra marathon or a triathlon or anything like that?
I have thought about it. I don't think it's ever going to happen, but I was just reading a book by David Goggins, former Navy SEAL and ultra marathoner who just runs crazy ultra marathons. So I mean, I thought about it as I was reading it, but I don't think it's a thing that I'll ever do. I do plan on running a full marathon next year when I turn 30, and I feel like once I've done that, then I'll do what I've done. But you never know. I never thought I'd run any sort of marathon, and here I am running. So
yeah, I think that the ultra marathon, just in particular, like, I've heard of people running 50Ks, you know, and that to me seems insane. You know, that's, I guess that's a little over a marathon.
Yeah, it's like 30 miles, I think.
Yeah, which just seems insane. 100 miles, like running for 35 hours, that just, I mean, some people are just wired that way, I guess. I mean, once you run a half marathon, you just got to keep going and keep going and keep going. But my goodness, I don't know how bodies can take that. Like, to even train for something like that, even if you train to only be able to run half of that, How do you train your body to run 50 miles?
It's unbelievable what the body can actually do. Is more than you think it can do, which is weird, but it's just unbelievable that people actually get to that point.
I mean, I don't know what the pace is for that, but I mean, that's for 100 miles, that's still running at least probably almost 3 miles an hour, which is a pretty decent pace to keep up over 34, 35 hours. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And to get sworn in the middle of it.
Right. Yeah. She had to pause to. Now, here's a question. Which would you rather do? Be an ultramarathon, have to run an ultramarathon, or be on the Supreme Court?
Of Wisconsin or of the United States? Or just any state? A state Supreme Court?
Yeah. How about a state Supreme Court? You wouldn't hold up in front of Congress. They would find this.
I think I would enjoy being on a Supreme Court. I'm not sure if that's actually true, but in my head, I think I would enjoy it.
I think I'm a pretty good judge of things. I don't really know the law, but I know right from wrong. That'll work out for me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think it would be helpful for them to have an outsider, not part of this law club that most Supreme Courts are full of.
Yeah, I'm an insurgent. I'm changing the game. Rhode Island is where we go to next, Kyle. Where more than 175 tax refund checks went out to people that were signed by Walt Disney and Mickey Mouse, not by the state treasurer and controller.
That seems like it was a mistake.
It does. I wonder if you could cash a check signed by Walt Disney and Mickey Mouse.
I wouldn't think that would be a legally valid check, seeing as Walt Disney is dead.
Is the bank Mouse really? I mean, if the check clears, though, the check numbers are good. Like, it's still coming from the right account. It just doesn't have the automated signature on there. I don't think any bank catches that, do they? You can't read most of those signatures.
Yeah, I've always wondered how necessary that signature part of a check is. But I imagine it's important. Everybody's got to do it.
I mean, I think as long as there's a signature on there. I did have an embarrassing mishap with my in-laws one time where I tried to send them a check in the mail to pay them back for something. I don't even remember what it was. You know, and I filled it out. I did the whole stupid thing where you have to write the numbers out spelled, which I just think is such a stupid thing. But I get it. I just think it's stupid. I did put it in the mail, and they received it, and they took a picture of it and been like, what are we supposed to do with this? And I didn't get – I was like, well, do I have to tell you what to do with a check? You cash it. It's worth money. Turns out I did – like, this is how much I was not even thinking about it. I did not sign the check. Therefore, it was not worth anything. But even when they sent the picture of it, I still didn't think anything was wrong. So clearly,
you're like, I wrote the numbers out, right?
I am not used to writing checks. I think I used to write rent checks once a month for, you know, 4 years or something. Those might have been the only checks I've ever written in my entire life. So it is not that smart.
I don't think our kids are really going to be check writers.
No, honestly. I think I was at a grocery store the other day, and someone tried to write a check. And I remember my mom doing this when I was a kid. They would write checks when they checked out at the grocery store. How much longer does that take? Because you can't even you can like sign it and address it, but you can't even like start spelling out the number amount until they tell you what your groceries cost. And then people would do the thing where they'd flip to the back of their checkbook so that they could track how much money was leaving their account.
Balancing your checkbook.
Man, that is just an archaic. It seems archaic, you know, now, but.
And then as a business, you don't know if that check's actually good or not until you try and cash it. So you may have just let goods go out with a bad check.
I know. It's crazy. But it's funny to think, you know, now I don't even have to bring a wallet. You know, I can just use my phone to pay some places. Have you tried to pay with your watch anywhere?
No. Does that even work? I rarely use Apple Pay. It does work. You can do Apple Pay with the watch. But I really do it. I don't know exactly which places have it. And I feel It's one of those things that I feel like once I start using it, then I'll use it all the time. But just the small barrier to entry and feeling like a complete idiot of just like waving my watch around hoping that money comes out is just not a thing that I've done yet, when the card to me isn't that big of a deal.
Well, even on the card though, you know, on the readers now, they'll say swipe, insert, or tap. And the cards have that, you know, tap symbol on them. And so whenever they say tap, and I have my card that is tap enabled, I think that's so much faster and easier. But I swear, half, if not more, of the times when it says tap is an option, and I wave my card over it for a few seconds, it doesn't work. And then I feel like an idiot, and I don't want to take up more time. And so I just end up inserting the card anyway. And then sometimes the cashier or whoever's, you know, checking me out at the store will be like, you have to insert it. And I was like, okay. It says tap, but
it says tap.
I get it. I was just trying to follow instructions and be efficient, but then I'm not.
Yeah, I don't even have any tap cards.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure you don't?
Yep. Although my debit card, they're sending me a new one because it expires in a couple months, so maybe that'll be tap enabled.
I bet that one's tappable. Kyle, we have a case of actual literal money laundering that happened in South Korea. Not embezzlement.
I laundered some money today.
Did you? How'd it go?
Yeah. The money's pretty clean now. Went through the washer and the dryer.
Well, in South Korea, they did not have as positive of a outcome as you, because they tried to wash a ton of money because they were trying to get the coronavirus off of it, and they thought that washing the money would disinfect it. And so they did put it in the washer and the dryer, and I'm looking at a picture, and a lot of it like has burn holes and marks in it. They lost a lot of money. A lot of that money is no longer usable.
Yeah.
I think it protects it being in a pocket.
I feel like if you just put money in, you're going to have a problem. You got to put the money. Yeah. The proportion of money to clothes needs to be primarily clothes for it not to have a problem.
Yeah. So if anybody.
They missed their proportions.
So if anybody's actually considering literally laundering their money, give it to us. We'll do it for you. We know how to do it.
For a small fee.
Cuteness alert, Kyle. In Berlin, there was a tiny red panda that was born. And the entire staff of the zoo didn't even know it until they actually saw in the red panda's like den area that the baby had been born. It was like a sneak birth. It was a sneaky pregnancy, sneak birth.
That's the dream, is to have a pregnancy that's just so low drama that just all of a sudden, boop, baby's there.
There it is. Kyle, what's your go-to at the zoo? Maybe as a kid, what did you look forward to the most at the zoo?
Penguins was oftentimes a go-to. Penguins, monkeys, and then just excessively large things like giraffes and elephants.
Nice. Yes. I like the penguins too. I like the otters whenever they have otters. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Elephants are super cool too, though. I'll give you that one. I did say the panda at the San Diego Zoo when I lived in Southern California. That thing's badass. Everybody, this podcast is brought to you by the San Diego Zoo. We should not really panda. Have zoos. They're kind of messed up, but the panda specifically. It's brought to you by the panda at the zoo. Good panda.
Good panda.
We just got a couple more. A Vermont skydiver lost his prosthetic leg while skydiving, but was able to get it back because a farmer found it in his field and was able to return it.
Imagine being that farmer.
Yeah. Well, what happens if you're just walking around and a prosthetic leg hits you in the head? Who do you even sue? Do you sue the skydiving company? You sue the guy with the prosthetic leg? That doesn't seem fair.
My guess is you sue the guy with the prosthetic leg, because I bet he signed a waiver that releases the skydiving company of any sort of liability.
Could be, but is prosthetic limb loss on the waiver?
I bet it's any sort of object that comes off of you.
Could be. Could be.
I bet it's pretty broad legalese.
Yeah. Last one. And this hits close to home for me, because in Australia, a bar, and that's not the part that hits close home to me, but I think I would like bars in Australia. But two emus are now banned from a bar because they got through a fence. They climbed the stairs to the bar and came into the bar and started destroying stuff. And just another incident that you can add to the long list of reasons why emus in particular, but really all birds, are the worst.
I like that it took that to get emus banned from the bar. It's maybe even just those two emus. Like, are other emus free to go in? Just the ones that wreck stuff are banned?
Well, I don't know. I mean, have you ever walked by, like, a public place and there's a weird sign, like, no chopping down this tree.
Aardvarks allowed.
Yeah, or something like that. And you're like, wow, somebody actually must have done that to warrant there being a sign. This bar now has a no emu sign, or at least has pictures of these two emus and, like, wanted posters by the door saying no entry.
I like it.
You know? And that's just, emus are learning. They're learning where to get us, right? They're adapting, and they know that they can get us in bars now. I can't even feel safe in a bar. It's horrible. I mean, this is different than coronavirus. I wouldn't feel safe in a bar anyway. But
I was going to say,
when I go back, it should be a space where I don't have to worry about these giant, ugly-ass birds. But who knows now?
Isn't it funny that now you're yearning for a day when emus are your biggest fear when you're going into a bar?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I don't know. The world is changing so quickly now. Between pandemics and bird growth and knowledge.
Bird growth.
Who knows? They're changing, and they're growing, and they're adapting, and they're horrifying. And with that, we're going to take a break so that you can all relax and calm down, because I'm sure you're as freaked out as I am. I'm going to take some deep breaths. When we come back, we're going to Kyle's Question Corner, and we will be defining some new and interesting words for you.
It's time for us to be back now.
Yes.
Do we think that's the accent that I used for the ad? We'll find out.
I hope so. But you know that I love the Nordic Icelandic transition puffin. I know that's where it came from. I am ready for Kyle's Question Corner.
All right. Kyle's Question Corner. Starting it off with an easy one. If you were in a band, what instrument would you want to play?
I feel like there's just so much glory in the guitar, like the lead guitar position. I don't know. Like, for some reason, that's what comes to mind before lead singer for me. Maybe that's a Guitar Hero era thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I feel like I could also have a lot of fun being the drummer. I feel like the drummer's kind of like the lovable goofball in the back that nobody really pays attention to most of the time, with a few exceptions, obviously. But yeah, I don't know. Lead guitar is what I go to. I have zero interest in playing the bass. I never have. It doesn't seem.
The bass is an interesting instrument. Like, somebody who picks up the bass is a particular kind of person.
Yeah. You know what instrument that I think makes such a huge difference in music and is totally underutilized in today's music? A badass fiddle.
Saxophone.
It's a badass fiddle player. Like, any songs that have like a crazy fiddler, you know, laying down music in the background, and then they get like a ripping solo. Like, that's who I want to be. That's who I want to be. I want to be the fiddler.
You want to be a ripping fiddler.
I want to be the ripping fiddler. Yep. And then I'll also be the name of my band. The Ripping
Fiddler. There goes Parnass, the Ripping Fiddler.
That's right. Yeah, they'll talk about me on the bluegrass stations. Except I don't want to play bluegrass music. I don't want to play bluegrass music. I want to play rock music or something else, but you got to infuse the fiddle into it.
I was going to say, you're probably going to be a little bit bluegrassy if you're fiddling.
Nope. You can do it. You can work it in. We'll
All right.
It'll be a hybrid.
I believe in you, Rippin' Fiddler.
What would you be?
I would I've always wanted to be a drummer. I still maintain to this day that if my parents would have bought me the drum set that I asked for when I was a youth, I would be a world famous drummer right now. And they just thwarted my dreams because they thought it'd be too loud and annoying in the house or whatever. So I'm still holding that against them and still think that I should be a drummer. Question number two. Who would you pick? Which three people would you pick to create your own bobsled team? And they can't be professional bobsled people.
We did something in the winter, I think, related to this with pick your own curling team on Instagram. It depends on what kind of vibe I want on my bobsled team. Am I going to win or am I going to just have a good time at practice? I don't know.
That's what you've got to figure out.
Yep. I want, I don't know. Gosh, who do I want? So starting in the back, I got to have somebody fast back there. I'm going to have, can I just pick the Jamaican bobsled team? I just would like all of them. No.
Do you know their names?
Sanka and Yul Brenna and Darius is the driver, and I can't remember the like preppy one that his dad wants him to become a lawyer.
Oh yeah.
Junior. I think his name is Junior. yeah, so I would like all of those guys. I don't know, if I was picking a celebrity bobsled team, I would probably put somebody. I want Mike Trout in the back. He's fast and strong. I want him pushing the thing. Who do I want driving? I don't trust myself to drive that thing. Probably Ellen DeGeneres. People are hating on Ellen right now. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, well, there's some allegations of abuse amongst her ranks.
Yeah. I've heard that before, that maybe she could be kind of a jerk. So, okay, Ellen's not driving, pending investigation. I want Michelle Obama driving my bobsled. I want Beyonce in there as well, and me.
Mike Trout, Beyonce, and Michelle Obama.
Yes, I think we would win a lot of things, and I would play the fiddle.
We were thinking very similarly here. I was thinking somebody fast for the back, so I figured Usain Bolt, he's fast.
Yeah, cheating.
Pop him in the back.
No, he's cheating.
And he's Jamaican. Win-win.
Yeah.
And I was thinking Barack Obama for my my front.
I did think about it. I mean, I thought about him, like, who do you want driving? But, you know, Michelle will do it.
I just think it would be a fun time to be in a bobsled with Barack Obama. He would just say something that's a little funny, yeah, and kind of smart.
Yeah.
And I don't know who would be in my middle besides me. Emma Watson, maybe? She's also smart.
Yeah.
She knows the course. She can be in Barrio's ear about what we should do on the turns.
So you're in like the third position. You got Barry up front. You got Emma, who's kind of whispering in his ear to give him suggestions. And then you're just, yep, being kind of Little Spoon with Usain Bolt, yeah, in the back.
Exactly. I've always wanted to be Little Spoon for Usain Bolt.
I knew it. That's a good call, Kyle. He seems like he'd be a good big spoon. He's lanky, you know.
That's what I thought as I was watching him in the Olympics.
Yeah, man,
that guy seems like he'd be a good big spoon.
He'd make a great big spoon. Didn't he name his kid Lightning Bolt? I think her middle name might be Lightning or something.
I hope it is. That's pretty good.
Yeah, had to do it.
That's it for Kyle's Question Corner this week.
That's it? All right.
That's it.
We are now leaving
on
Kyle's
to...
Question Corner. Don't talk over the song, Kyle.
All right, then you got to bring us into the next game.
What you want to know? Dictionary! That's it. You're welcome.
So there's no alliteration this time?
Oh, crap. That's what we do. Yes. The Dungeness Dictionary Dichotomy.
I like it. Dungeness.
Dungeness. Like crabs.
All right, so this is the game where I go through the dictionary.com words of the day that I don't know what they mean, ask Robbie to give me the etymology and definition of said words. Are you ready?
Indeed.
Word number one, esurient. It's an adjective. Esurient. E-S-U-R-I-E-N-T.
Esurient. This is actually a little-known Tasmanian description that is used to describe the vastly varying and unpredictable sounds that an adolescent hyena makes that through time has been applied to the strange sounds that come out of toddlers. So when a toddler makes a weird like squeak or a yip or, you know, other sounds heard on the playground, those are esurient sounds. But it was originally adolescent hyenas heard on the plains.
On the plains.
Mm-hmm.
You're close.
Out there on the plains.
It is an adjective meaning hungry or greedy.
Which are the two most...
Maybe the hyenas were hungry or greedy, and so they started being esurient.
And the toddlers, those hunger and greed are the two most prominent things that come out on the playground with toddlers. Most disagreements that cause those sounds come from either hunger, greed, or both. Facts.
Fair enough. Word number two. It's a noun. Simulacrum.
Simulacrum.
Yes.
This one actually comes from southwestern France, and it is a simulacrum is a wreath made of twigs from southwestern cedar trees that is woven together with wild lavender dandelions. That's right. It's a hybrid. They're dandelions that are purple and smell like lavender, and grasshopper legs. Beautiful wreaths. You can find them in many of the wineries and champagneries throughout southwestern France, the Riviera.
What is the purpose of the grasshopper legs?
It helps to bind the twigs and the dandelion. Like, it helps anchor the dandelion lavender into the twigs that are making up the wreath. So you got the grasshopper legs are holding the whole thing together in the middle.
That's not what dictionary.com said. It said it's an image or representation
of a wreath.
Could be.
With lavender dandelions and grasshopper legs.
In southwest France.
Very specific.
All right, final word of the segment. Anfractuous.
Infractuous.
Anfractuous. It's an adjective. Anfractuous.
So, it's funny. There is an example of infractuous in progress that is seen on the popular American television show, The Office. And infractuous is the process of putting together a turtle shell piece by piece that you have cracked. So you're repairing fractures, but it's very specific to turtles. And in some cases, tortoises, but those are harder to crack. The turtles get broken rather easily, especially if you're kind of clumsy. And so fractious is to fracture the turtles, and infractuous is to repair the turtles. So Kevin, in the show, is being infractuous when he tries to put the turtle back together that he has fractuous.
Fractuous. When earlier in the podcast, when you asked how to describe your golf game, this was actually the word that came to mind because it means winding and turning or circuitous.
Hmm. Interesting. So
next time somebody asks you to describe your golf game, just say it's anfractuous.
Well, it also relates to the turtle thing because you have to wind and turn the pieces to get them to go back into the place. I will die on that mountain, claiming that I was correct in all three phases.
Okay, I'll give it to you. That is it. That is the end of Dungeness Dictionary, whatever you called it.
Dichotomy, yes. All right, I hope everybody has learned something. Let that sink in while we take one last break. We're going to come back. We're going to wrap this puppy up. Okay, welcome back to the podcast. Thank you, Transition Puffin. Thank you. Kyle, hit us with the tweet of the week.
I think we should just have one entire episode where Robbie just talks to the Transition Puffin.
Instead of you.
I'm not even there.
Yeah. Just a conversation between me and... I don't even know if the Transition Puffin has a name. I just call him the Transition Puffin. It should start with T. Townie. Tanny the Transition Puffin.
Anyway, our tweet of the week comes from at Seth Walder, and it says, like 25 years ago, we took a family trip to Seattle. My sister was 3 or 4 at the time. We landed and were at the airport, and my sister said, so when are we going to go see him? My parents said, who? And she said, Addle. They're going to Seattle.
Got it. God, it took me a second. I thought that they were in Seattle, not going to Seattle. Okay. That one made me giggle, Kyle. I like that. Good choice. Not by Jaden Smith either.
Not by Jaden Smith.
Another good choice.
I want to say happy birthday to Leslie Odom Jr. He's turning 39 today.
Aaron Burr, sir.
And fittingly, Thomas Jefferson. But not the Thomas Jefferson you're thinking of, the one who won the bronze 200-meter dash in the 1984 Olympics, is turning 58 today.
So Thomas Jefferson, hardly anyone has ever heard of.
It's part of, I tied it into the Hamilton.
I got it. I saw what you were doing. And, you know, sometimes you gotta stretch it a little bit. You gotta stretch it like that tin foil, that aluminum foil ball that you are. You gotta stretch it a little. The last thing we have on our agenda, Kyle, is something that you put, which stems from our last podcast, where we learned of Timmy Failure. I believe we were taking a BuzzFeed quiz. We were picking our Disney Plus options in order to find out which Hamilton character we are. And we learned of Timmy Failure, and this is something that you have explored. Tell us what you've learned.
Yeah, we were taking the quiz, and the title of the film was Timmy Failure, Mistakes Were Made. And I thought that was just a glorious title. And so you challenged me to watch it before the next podcast, which I did. And I have to say it was not as good as I hoped it would be.
What a great title.
It's a great title. There's that little Timmy who's like a little fifth grader who's got a mullet.
Oh.
And randomly, it takes place in my neighborhood, actually, in North Portland. So there's a lot of Portland imagery in the movie, which is kind of fun. A polar bear wanders from the Arctic into Portland for some reason, and Timmy decides that the polar bear needs to be his partner in solving crimes. Sure. Because according to little Timmy, Portland is rife with crime, corruption, and Russian.
Three things are often linked. It seems. Yes, crime, corruption, Russians. Where you have two of those, you usually can find the third.
Yep, and then they're all in Portland. And so Timmy's mom won a Segway at church, and so Timmy steals his mom's Segway and rides it around Portland.
She won a Segway at church? Uh-huh. What kind of church is this?
It was some sort of bingo thing or something. Oh. So he steals his mom's Segway and gets into all sorts of shenanigans. It could have been good. It was just like an hour too long. And I'm not the target audience, but
that might be part of it.
But it could have. I give it like 3 pandas, maybe.
I like that even at a young age, we are painting Russians as the enemy. Like from very young, we are teaching kids that Russians are the criminal, corrupt people.
Yeah, you know? he was really against the Russians the whole movie. Daryl from The Office is in it. He plays a school counselor.
He'd be a great school counselor. Yeah. God, what is it? Craig Robinson? That's his name.
Yeah. Yep.
Also known. What is his name in Brooklyn Nine-Nine? Oh, what is Doug Judy?
Doug Judy.
Doug Judy. Which to me always sounded like Judge Judy. But yeah, Doug yep. Judy. Doug Judy, the Pontiac Bandit.
The Pontiac Bandit.
Yeah, I love that dude. If it was his birthday, we would wish him happy birthday. But it's not, alas.
Nope, just Thomas Jefferson, 1984 yep. bronze medalist.
So, with that, we will bid you adieu for the week. Make sure that you're following along Kyle's Coffee Challenge of the Week on Instagram, maybe TikTok. Kyle, you going to play with the TikTok game this week?
I may. Although now Instagram has basically its TikTok ripoff. Maybe we'll use that too. We'll see.
Yep. So be checking all of our social media accounts, playfulbanter.org, for blogs and new content. Check back with us next week. We'll have another podcast posted. But until then, you may fear other things in this very fearful world. Coronavirus, emus, large grandmothers trying to kiss you.
Broken turtle shells.
Broken turtle shells. But don't ever, ever fear the bacon.